We're doing a three-week Wednesday night Bible study that we're calling Summer Seed Sowing. We're going to focus on Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Tonight, I just want to look at two verses, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 3. But before we get there, open up to Acts chapter 1, and I'd like to review one text from Acts. We'll do that as an introduction. And after we review one item in Acts chapter 1, the Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, then we'll go ahead and transition to Colossians, and we're going to stay in Colossians for the next three Wednesdays, two Wednesdays after today, and that'll take us right into the VBS time. We're talking about sowing the gospel seed. We're talking about sharing Christ and being a testimony of the Lord Jesus. And if you open up your Bible to the first chapter according to Acts, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. It says, when they'd come together, they were asking him, Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? The followers of Jesus wanted to know, when's the kingdom coming? They were asking about something visible. They were concerned with the topic of power. Notice verse 7. Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Let's look at verse 8, especially the first part. Jesus said, you will receive power. Okay? There's going to come a point in time when the people listening to Jesus would receive power. What would be that point in time, according to verse 8? When would it take place that they would receive that power? Yeah, Pentecost, good. And you're even getting more advanced, but that's correct. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, which we know happened at Pentecost, good. So there's coming a time, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and what will happen? You will receive power. It's a fact. It's going to happen. Now, notice it's not a command. Jesus doesn't say the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you must go out and get power. It's a declaration. It's future tense, but it's a declaration. You know what's going to happen? Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You are going to receive power. It's a fact. Okay? Does everybody see that? Any questions on that? It's not an imperative. Jesus is not saying you got to go do something. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You will receive power. It's a declaration. It's a fact. Let's stay in verse 8 a little bit. We're in Acts 1:8. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, look at that little phrase, you shall be my witnesses. Is that a imperative? Is that a command? You must witness. It's not a command. It doesn't say you must go and witness. It simply says what, Nathan? You shall be my witnesses. And when would they be Jesus' witnesses, according to this text? When they what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, a day is coming where you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is going to fill you. He's going to control you. And you say, what will happen? You'll be my witnesses. This is not a command. Jesus is not saying the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Now listen, I command you. You must go witness. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And you know what? You will receive power. And you will be my witness. You say, so what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? At least one evidence in this text is what? Being a witness. Just think through with me. Why don't we witness? I didn't say you. I said us. Why don't we witness? According to this text, why don't we witness? Because we don't have enough training. Because we lack the technique. Because we don't know enough Bible. No.
Why don't we witness according to this text? Because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit talk about Jesus. People that don't talk about Jesus are not filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus says, you will receive power and you will witness. If I am not a witnessing Christian, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's true about many areas of life. We can make this broader. If I'm not loving my wife the way Christ loved the church, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, Colossians 3 makes that clear. If I'm yelling and screaming at my kids, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm not witnessing, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. If I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I would be witnessing. This is what I wanted to start with, guys. What we're going to do, see, is we're not talking about me somehow trying to think of a technique or a methodology or even just trying to motivate people to go out and witness. I've heard it illustrated this way, and you maybe heard me use this before. You shake up a can of soda, you pull a tab, you can't control it. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I want to talk about Jesus. When I don't want to talk about Jesus, it's because I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, right? If I'm really, really filled with Ohio State football, I like to talk about Ohio State football. When I'm not talking about Ohio State football, it's when I'm not filled with Ohio State football. Okay? When I'm not wanting to witness, it's because I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the whole key to witnessing, as I understand this text, really is not technique, even though it's fine to go over technique. And it's not having a specific methodology, even though it's good to have a specific methodology. I'm not downing any of that. I'm not down on books. I'm not down on conferences. I'm not down on any of that. I'm simply making the point that the key is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we witness. And when we're not witnessing, it's because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's just an intro before we go to Colossians. Any questions on that? Now, I know that might sound a little bit radical because you might be thinking, Greg, I have not witnessed to anyone in a couple of weeks, haven't even tried. You're suggesting I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's exactly, to be frank, the best I know what the scriptures would teach. If I'm not trying to, I haven't tried to show love to Nancy in weeks. You know, love Nancy the way Christ loved the church. I'm just not into it. I believe you would be accurate to say, Greg, that's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you would be seeking to submit yourself to scriptures. You're not. That would be an evidence. I'm simply making the point that this would be one evidence. People that are spirit-filled witness. Okay? All right. With that in mind, let's go now to Colossians. And we're going to spend three Wednesday nights just working through Colossians 4 a little bit. And tonight's little Bible study is simply the idea that sowing gospel seed demands prayer. And we're going to talk about the importance of prayer. Sowing gospel seed demands prayer. Colossians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 2. And all we're going to do is look mainly at verse 2 and 3, just two verses. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned. If we can just get that far tonight, that'll be great. Yeah. Notice verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Question. What does it mean to devote yourself to something? To devote yourself to something. To arrange your life around it. That certainly be good. What else? To devote yourself to something. It's something you do unceasingly. It's something you arrange your life around, right? What are some things people devote themselves to? What do some people devote themselves to? Today was National what? What was today? National what? National Running Day. How many of you know of somebody devoted to running? Right? It's planned. They will run. And they will make sure they run. And if you say you want to do, well, no, because I'm running then. I'm not putting that down. They are devoted to running. It's not just I run when I want to, but sometimes I don't because it's not a big deal. That's me. I run in whatever. But some people are devoted to running. They structure their... This verse, verse 2, says, devote yourself. The word really, it's from the word, the root word means to be strong. It means you focus on something with great strength. You give yourself to it. Okay? Now, according to verse 2, what are we supposed to devote ourselves to? It says devote ourselves to what? To prayer. Good. What does it mean to devote ourselves to prayer? So we know what devote means. It means kind of arrange your day around it. Give it a lot of energy. Make it an important thing. What does it mean, Alan, to devote yourselves to prayer? So it's something that's important to me. It's something that I really want to focus on. It's something that I even might make time for, right? Hey, you want to go out for coffee? Well, I can't. I'm running. You want to get together tonight? Well, I can't. I'm running. I'm just because today's National Running Day. If you run, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of worse things you could do, right? You have to admit, well, some of you are saying, well, you know, running is idolatry, I know, but it beats eating Fritos. Okay, amen. I will agree with you on that, okay? So maybe I should be dumping on people that eat too many Fritos. But the idea being, we're really focusing on praying. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now, the Bible goes on in verse 2, and it gives us two things or two ways we should pray. So let's see if we can figure that out. We're supposed to devote ourselves to prayer, okay? You say, how do we pray? Well, there's two ways in verse 2 that we're supposed to pray that Paul mentions. You see them? I'm supposed to be devoting myself, arranging my schedule around, putting a lot of energy into prayer. And I'm supposed to be praying with two things in mind, according to verse 2. Pastor Ward, you got him? Okay, good. So there's two ways Paul says we should pray. We should devote ourselves to prayer. And notice what it says, keeping alert in it. So we should be spiritually alert when we pray. The word literally means to be watchful. So it's not something we're doing mindlessly, right? If you're alert to something, you're paying attention, you're giving it mental energy. And then also we should be doing it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So we should pray how? We should pray alertly and thankfully. That's what Paul's saying. So we are to devote ourselves to prayer. We should pray alertly. We should pray thankfully. Now, we're just staying in verses 2 through 3. And for whom are we praying? In verses 2 and 3, for whom are we praying? What do you see in the text? We're always going to go back to the text. We want our eyes in the text, Bible study. So we're looking at the text and we're seeing what's in this text. For whom are we praying? Anybody want to try? Elias? Okay. So definitely for Paul and for others, because it says in verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well. So that's correct. So we should be praying for other people. And because it says us as well, I think there's a second answer to that. I should be praying alertly. I should be praying thankfully. I should devote myself to praying for who? For other people as well. Which means who else am I praying for? Myself. Does that make sense? If someone says, hey, maybe you can wash my car as well, that assumes I'm already washing my car. So, for whom are we praying? We're praying for ourselves. And we're praying for, in this context, Paul and the people with Paul. We would just say other believers. So what have we seen in the text? Again, we're looking at the text. And what I'm seeing in Colossians is this. We should devote ourselves to prayer. We should make it a priority. We should plan on it. We should arrange our schedule in such a way. You say, and how are we praying? Alertly and thankfully. And for whom am I praying? Me and you. Okay? For myself and for others. And now according to verse 3, and here's really maybe the key. For what are we praying? According to verse 3. Again, we're looking at a text. Okay, so my eyes are in verse 3. And according to God's word, I'm praying for something. Obviously, there's other verses that teach us to pray for other things. But what does verse 3 say we should pray for? Okay, good. That God will open to us a door. So you're saying that a door is a metaphor for an opportunity. And that's correct, right? If you want to go into a room, the door has to be open. If the door is closed, then you could not get into the room without someone opening the door. So Paul says in verse 3, we should be devoting ourselves to praying for ourselves and others that God will open up an opportunity, a door. Let's expand on that. A door for what? According to verse 3. We want to look at the text. What does verse 3 say? A door for the word. Good. So we are specifically praying that the word has an open door, that the word can go forth. What does that mean? Praying that the word would go forth, and we're still in verse 3. The answer is in verse 3. What does that mean? We're praying that. How does the word go forth? Good. To share the gospel. Just good. To speak the mystery of Christ, which means in our everyday language, to share the gospel. That's what Paul says we should pray for. So if we wrap this all up, we should devote ourselves. We should arrange our schedules. We should make it a very big priority to do what? To pray. To pray how? Alertly and thankfully. For whom? For ourselves and others. And what is it that we're praying for? That there will be an opportunity, an open door for the word, which is further explained as sharing the gospel. You say, what do I take away from this text? That we must devote ourselves to praying for gospel opportunities. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. I mean, really, just think about it. How many of us today stopped, did nothing else for a specific period of time, whether it's a minute or whatever, and just said, Lord, I am specifically praying today that you will give me opportunities to share the gospel. And I not only prayed it for me, but I prayed it for others. In this case, it's Paul and others. It could be for anybody. It could be your spouse, your kids, your parents, your fellow church members. That's what this verse is commanding us to do. We, if we take this text seriously, should be devoting ourselves to praying that God will give all of us gospel opportunities. And that's where evangelism begins. Now, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I already want to do it. You say, what if I don't want to share the gospel with people? Well, again, we're back to that's just not being filled with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I want to share the gospel. I will witness. But I must begin by praying, Lord, would you please? Lord, I'm devoting myself right now. I am praying today. Would you please give me an opportunity? I am walking into, you know, whatever, I don't know, Ingles. Lord, I'm going to my neighbors and I'm just walking down the street, but he's in the driveway. Lord, I am praying for. And that's what we're going to do tonight by God's grace. We're going to take these verses very seriously and pray for gospel opportunities. So here's what I want to do. We're going to close in a bit, then we're going to transition into prayer time. When we go to prayer time tonight, we divide up into pairs, at least the adults do, and young people's groups. You guys could do this how you think best. When we divide up in pairs tonight, I would like to ask you to make an agreement to pray for your prayer partner once each day, that God will give that brother a gospel opportunity. What I'm asking you guys to do during prayer time
is I'm going to say, David, by God's grace, I'm going to do my best to pray for you once each day for the next week until next Wednesday. And would you do that for me? That's what I want us to do. So whoever you pray with tonight, would you please tell them, I'm going to do my best to pray for you at least once each day, very specifically, that God will give you gospel opportunities for that day. And I'm asking you, would you pray for me? And we're going to pray for one another. And that's what we'll do for 1 week. That's our homework. Okay? Right? You study the Bible, you have homework. And that's how people change. And that's how growth takes place. That's what I'd like us to do this week. Praying. You know, you say, am I allowed to pray for more than just my partner? Well, those are the kind of questions I always give the ward. Ward, what do you think? Is that okay? Is that? Yeah, he said that's okay. So that's not like breaking the rules or anything. Yeah, he's okay with that. If he's good with it, I'm good with it. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the practicality and simplicity of your word. And Lord, we sometimes desire to share Christ with others, and we even forget about basic truths, Lord, that we need to begin with prayer and we need to devote ourselves to prayer. Lord, we need to pray alertly and thankfully that you would be the one that opens the door for the word. Lord, we don't understand why things happen, when rain comes, when rain doesn't come. We don't understand who to try to talk to in a store, or Lord, when it's best to talk to a loved one, but you know all those things. And so we pray, Lord, that we would begin by consciously focusing on intercession, that you would truly open a door for the word, both for us and our brothers and sisters, that we would then have the opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We pray, even as we go into our prayer time, that we would pray that each of us would have good gospel opportunities. And we pray by your grace, we would seek to take advantage of those this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.